You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
You know, guys, it was 22 years ago yesterday, 8 a.m. in the morning. We borrowed a Sunday school room at a church called Graceway. And God has done more over the years than I could possibly ask or think. I think about the thousands. There have been thousands of kids who came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Thousands. There have been students who resisted the influence of some bad influences in their life and actually said, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ the rest of my life. There have been young adults, talk to them, who have been, you know, hurt by family or others. Maybe they're part of hurting themselves, but they didn't find acceptance and actually, for the first time ever, have felt accepted and loved. There have been people who came to our team Grace, and their marriage is on its last legs. Seriously, it's over. And God has restored what he intended and gone beyond that. Like, it's been amazing over the years to see what God has been doing. I didn't know what to picture. Our very first service, by the way, here's a picture of our very first service years ago. There is 30 people or so, and about half of them are just being nice to me, showing up, which, hey, I like when people are nice to me. And so there's my mom. I'll point out she's still a part of our church. That's back there when her hair was dark. And she serves at our South Overland Park location, still serving with Grace Kids. She is the kid whisperer, is what she is. She was a teacher for years. This is a picture of me at our very first service. And I have two thoughts when I see that. Number one, how can nothing have changed? And number two, if you wait 22 years, your glasses frames can come back into style too. So that's what I think. And by the way, we only have two pictures from our first service. So every time I show those same two pictures, I'm like, good God, I wish somebody could go back in time and get another photo. But here is our vision at Grace. Help everyone become an outward-focused follower of Jesus. That's our vision here at Grace Church. Every church, if they're worth their salt, have some version of the Great Commandment. With Great Commandment, what is that? Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Love. Love underpins every mission or vision statement. Love is the most important value of God. It comes from God. He is love. But then, disciple-making is the Great Commandment. So we kind of built ours. Yes, what underpins it is love, but we're going to talk through our vision statement, talk through the three kind of levels, the foundation level, follower of Jesus, then layered upon that, what does it mean to be outward-focused, layered upon that, helping everyone. This is a cycle of how people actually grow. They become followers of Jesus, then they grow to be outward-focused, then they engage with starting help anyone around them. And we'll talk about what that means. Our hopes today, by the way, we've been praying like crazy for you. There are people. I don't know if you're at our North Overland Park location. Congratulations. Look around. This is our first official service. Take it in. Would someone take more than two pictures of the very first service at our North Overland Park location? Welcome guys in Olathe, guys in the venue. We are, people who are joining us online. We are hopeful there are people that you don't know for sure if you've accepted Christ by faith. Christianity is weird. Becoming a Christian is weird. Because everything in your soul says you should do the right thing or turn over a new leaf or try harder or check the box. None of that helps you become a Christian. If you try at all, if you do anything, you can't become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is, I give up the to-do list, I can't do any better, and I believe in the doing that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Is a faith-based change. Believing the story of Jesus, believing his love, believing you're accepted in him. When you believe, you call out, you pray, you surrender, you believe you become a Christian, you become a follower of Jesus. Now, after that, we're hopeful that you do that today, by the way, after that. We'll talk about follower of Jesus in just a moment, but we're also hopeful that you're baptized. So we, in all of our locations, we tried all locations. We got a flooding in the venue, and we compressed our schedule at Northland Park. So two of our four locations, we have spontaneous baptisms. In Jesus' day, by the way, every baptism was spontaneous. You're out there, you're listening to John the Baptist, he goes down in the river and the water, and you, with your clothes, went in, no classes, no planning, no looking at your schedule. Every baptism in Jesus' day was spontaneous. And by the way, there are people here who have become a Christian, but not been baptized after that moment. I urge you, I beg you, we'll see why you need to be baptized today. And we have a better deal than the apostles. We have clean water. They didn't have that. We got a change of clothes. The apostles didn't provide that. We got towels for you. We got changing stations for you. At the end of the service, you need to get up, make your way right down here in the auditorium, right down here, and say, hey, it's time for me to be baptized. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about our vision. God, I thank you for the chance to gather together and just be thankful for what you have done in our hearts and our souls, in people's lives over the years, thousands of people, that you get the credit, you get the honor. It's your work. We're your instruments, your hands and feet. We're guided by the promptings of your Holy Spirit living inside of the bodies of every person who's given their life to Jesus Christ. God, I pray you'd help us to understand what our vision is, what we believe you called us to do as a church, the unique role we play, not better, not worse, but the unique role you called us to play in this larger Big C church, larger kingdom of God that you're building. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take the first level of our foundational statement, the follower of Jesus. This is the most important part. It is the foundation upon which you build your life in Jesus Christ. This applies to followers of Jesus. If you've not yet received Christ by faith, you are not yet a follower of Jesus. Where does this come from, the origin of the statement, follower of Jesus? It comes from the word disciple. So the word disciple literally means learner. A disciple is a learner. A learner who follows. And Jesus would interrupt people's worlds and just say, follow me. Like he went to Peter and Andrew and James and John with their family fishing businesses. And said, hey, follow me. Like, leave your business and follow me. That's a disciple. That's being a follower of Jesus. A disciple. He went to Levi, or named Matthew, who was a tax collector. And in Jesus' day, they hated the IRS. Not like today, we love the IRS. But in Jesus' day, they hated the IRS. And so he said, hey, leave your tax collecting business, follow me. Can you imagine Jesus walking into your classroom, you hear a knock? Jesus himself walks into your geography class and looks at you and says, hey, leave everything, follow me. You have this business meeting, this team meeting, department meeting. He walks into your meeting, points at you and says, follow me. That's what a discipler is, a follower. What's it look like to be a follower of Jesus? Well, every day you get this daily blank contract that floats down and lands on your pillow where you wake up every day. Now, you've already given your life to Jesus Christ. This contract is a 24-hour contract. It's blank. How many people would sign, just think in your mind, would you sign a blank contract that the terms are filled in later? Some of us, God bless us, we won't sign anything until we read every little line. You know people that actually take the software agreement and they read like 40 pages of small speak. I'm not clicking yes until I read every line. I get it. I'm probably signing away my first child with that thing. Is there anybody in your world that you would trust enough to sign this? That you would sign it, date it, and say, you can tell me to do anything today, and I'll do it. I trust you that much. I trust you, you'll take care of me. I trust you won't abuse this. I trust you on my best interest. I believe you. I trust you. Many people can think of somebody they would trust that much to give total control of their life. That's who Jesus is. He's the one worthy of trust. You can say, I trust you. And you won't abuse it, misuse it. He has your best interest at heart. Are you signing your daily 24-hour contract? Here's the question. Am I following Jesus? Following Jesus every day, it floats down. You're like, oh, it's blank. What's he going to put on there? I trust you. By the way, you don't have to sign this contract. It's not a law. You can choose not to sign it. We don't sign it because we have to. We sign it because we love him and we trust him. It's an act of worship and love and trust. I don't have to sign this. I've been set free. And so Jesus talks about that daily blank contract. If you look over in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, be a disciple following Jesus, let him deny himself, self-denial, and take up his cross daily. The only reason you picked up a cross was to go die on it, be crucified on it. And it happens daily. It's a daily 24-hour contract. And follow me. It's a daily contract. Are you signing your daily contract? Every day you're mentally like, okay, God, this day again, these 24 hours is yours. It's totally yours. It's a blank contract. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If you have to see every clause on your contract, you're walking by sight. Well, I don't see how it works out in the budget. You're walking by sight. Well, I don't see the calendar time. You're walking by sight. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. You're walking by sight. People's opinions don't agree. You're walking by sight. We walk by faith. Faith in God's promises. We sign blank contracts. You say, well, it's going to kill me. If I do that, sometimes it's really getting our control freak freaked out right now. Giving that kind of control to someone, to anyone, I got to protect my life from risk. Jesus says it kills you if that's your lifestyle. Luke chapter 9, verse 24 again. Luke 9, 24 says, for whoever desires to save his life, if you're going to protect your life from risk, well, you'll lose it. You'll hold on to your life like water. It will slip through your fingers. Your little heart will shrink up like a little Grinch, Christmas Grinch heart. It will die on the inside. You're trying to save your life. You will lose it. But, he says, whoever loses his life, quote unquote loses, for my sake will save it. You come to life. You say, well, what might be on my daily contract? Can I just know some of the terms that might appear in my contract? Well, absolutely. So here's a list of those. So you might be showing kindness. You get up, contract floats down on your pillow. Okay, God, this is your day. I'm signing up for it again. All of a sudden, somebody's a real jerk to you. A serious royal jerk. And on your contract, spiritually, supernaturally, be kind to the jerk. I wouldn't have signed if I had to be kind to that person. Are you kidding me? That's your daily blank contract. Oh, kindness. Speaking up. You signed it, didn't know what was going to happen. A conversation happens. Injustice is happening. And you sense in your soul, on your contract, appears. Speak up. Oh, what if I say it the right way? What if I mess it up? What if they look down on me? Speak. There it is. Speak up. A conversation about God comes up. And somebody goes, ah, those crazy people believe the Bible, follow Jesus. And you know the Holy Spirit just said, speak up. It's on your contract. Forgiving someone. So there's somebody you've just not forgiven. You say, well, they don't feel bad enough yet. They're not apologized yet. They might do it again. That's not why you forgive. God, forgiving is a legal thing. That you accept the suffering of Jesus Christ. You just, his suffering on their behalf. And you say, well, I'm not going to ask for any more. That's enough for me. Why would you do that? Because that's what God the Father did for you. He accepted the suffering of Christ for your sins. And you didn't feel bad enough. You didn't ask the right way. You didn't promise you'd never do it again. He forgave you because someone suffered for that. And so on your contract, there's somebody you've not forgiven yet. And every day you sign it, it's blank, and then their name appears again. Forgive them. No. You put it away. Next day you sign it, it's blank. I hope a new day. Forgive them. No. You gotta be set free. That's what the contract says. Praying for your enemy. Oh, this person drives you crazy. You can't stand to be around them. You come on fire and sadness on the inside. I'll pray for them. Dear God, smite them down. Not that prayer. You pray Matthew 5:44. God bless them. God, I pray. This person is mean to you, doesn't like you, doesn't feel bad about, tries to make your life miserable. God, I pray you bring them health and joy. Bless them financially. Get them the best job, the best school, the best grades. I pray you give them great relationships and peace. You pray God's blessings down upon your enemy. Matthew 5:44 says that. That's the only way you're set free from your enemy. Praying God to bless over and over, God to bless. Maybe it's faith when you can't see it. All of a sudden your contract appears. It doesn't make sense, doesn't fit in the budget, doesn't make sense to you. Doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. I promise to take care of you. I prompt you to do it. It's on your contract. So just ask yourself, am I following Jesus? Am I re-upping for these 24 hours? God, I'm yours again. I'm yours again. Okay, so our vision here is to help everyone become an outward-focused follower of Jesus. The most important part is the foundation, being a follower of Jesus, becoming a follower by faith, and then every day, by faith, surrendering control that 24 hours. Then, let's talk about the second phrase of our vision statement, being outward-focused. This is the most questioned. People can kind of get follower of Jesus, they kind of get helping. What does it mean to be outward-focused, and where does that come from? So that comes from the book of Acts. So before we started Grace, study the book of Acts. There's two halves. The first half of the book of Acts, the church is Jerusalem. The small church, 120, which became a giga church, over 15,000 people in a very short time. And there's one church in the world. So if you didn't like that church, there's no other church. Too bad. There's one church. But the problem was, they weren't going to be outward focused. They were called to go to the world. It was just too nice, too good, too comfy. God let persecution happen, and they were forced to look outward. The second half of the book of Acts, some of those refugees from Jerusalem land in Antioch, a city in the north. They start a church, and they were willingly outward focused. They were prompted by God to send out leaders, send out resources, think about others. So we started Grace with this idea of becoming an outward focused church, willingly following the Holy Spirit to look outward, not just look inward. And interestingly, didn't plan it this way, but two of our three campuses are on a road called Antioch Road. And we need to petition Olathe to change another road name. That's fantastic. So what does it look like to be outward focused? Do you just care about other people and just like, oh, I can't care for myself? No. It's like those oxygen masks that drop down. This is outward focused. They drop down. They always tell you the same thing. Put the mask over your own nose and mouth. Self-care first. And then you look to help other people. It's a both and. It's the great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Self-care and other care. So here's the question. Am I ready to be inward and outward focused? Self-care. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Loving your neighbor. It's an inward and outward focus. So, you can't do that until you're a follower of Jesus. Doesn't make sense to you. And, we can find that in Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Philippians 2 verse 3 talks about self-care and other care. Self-esteem and other esteem. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Okay, so make sure that you send no text, you make no comment, you take no action, make no decision based on selfishness or being arrogant or conceited. But in humility, in lowliness of mind, which is intentional humility, let each esteem others better than himself. So we have self-esteem in our culture, which is fantastic. This is other esteem. We got lots of self-esteem in our culture. Some more self-esteem. We have very little other esteem in our culture. We don't esteem others at all, especially if they don't agree with us. Those guys are idiots! Morons! Idiots! If you had more other esteem, you would treat them who disagree with you with God-given dignity and humility. Disagreeing passionately. But other esteem. Mel talks about self-care and other care in the next verse, verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, there's the mask over your mouth, nose and mouth, but also for the interest of others. You say, I'm outward focused. I care for me and my family and my best friends. That's your inner circle. Outward focus means you care for people beyond your inner circle. Well, who would do that? Jesus would do that. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's our model of being outward focused. And he was both inward and outward. He's building the kingdom of God for his own glory, his own honor. But he came to this world because we were desperately in sin and had no hope. And so he died for us. He gave up everything to live as one of us, suffered and died and rose again for us. And so I was thinking about some examples that we as a community engage in being outward focused. Now, we do encourage you personally to be outward focused, which means, when it snows, you shovel your driveway plus your neighbor's driveway. As long as you trim their grass and bushes, when you trim your own bushes, when you make extra food, you say, hey, well, I made some extra food. Here's some stuff for you. So you think different ways to be outward focused, intentionally caring about other people. But we do this as a community. And I was thinking of several ways. I could talk about, by the way, Grace Kids and Grace Students. There's so many people who volunteer and serve, and they don't have kids or students in Grace Kids or Grace Students, but they're being outward focused. Could talk about grace groups, our weekend, our guest services, weekend service production, our global missions, the fact that we give away 10% of everything we receive. We tithe as a church, encourage you to tithe. We tithe as a church, giving it away to missions. I thought I'd give share a few local outreaches, ways you can engage together, being outward focused. Here's our SOAR special needs ministry. The special needs community is one of the most underserved community in the world globally. It's also underserved in the church, by the way. And so we have people where we put on a yearly day camp. Day camp. It's an amazing experience. Periodic respite nights where people can have their individual special needs cared for plus their siblings. But the core of it is the weekly buddies. Every week, as people come to church, they're buddied up with those with special needs. Their family worships. They worship. You're talking about the divorce rates, by the way, for those with special needs. They border on professional athlete divorce rates. I mean, professional athletes, when they leave their league, you know, they're pushing 87 to 92% divorce rates. You're talking that the intense pressure. So, but people do this. They're being outward focused together. Here's our Kansas City Rescue Mission Clean Team. This happened just recently. Now, Kansas City Rescue Mission, fantastic ministry to those homeless and those women who've been put at risk for a variety, whether it's trafficking or being homeless or battery, those kinds of things. From time to time, they just need cleaning. There is not, it's not like a noble, woohoo, every celebrates your cleaning. This team went there and cleaned the men's shelter. Woohoo! Let's get your hands dirty! I'll tell you, they were outward focused, caring for this community at risk. Together, Freedom Fire Urban Ministries. We adopt the fourth Friday each month. They do this every single week. But the Freedom Fire, essentially they go down to our urban core. There's an area with about half the community is their culture. They're Americans culturally. And half the community are Somalian refugees, Muslims culturally. And so they put on for both communities games, weekly food, activities. They do also extra homework support during the week. But then they share Jesus. We have people who go play with kids for Jesus so that the gospel can go forward, both with Americans and Somali Muslims. It's an incredible ministry together being outward focused. Here's Church Under the Bridge. This happens every week on Monday night at 6 p.m. And it doesn't matter whether it's raining, snowing, sleeting. We adopted the fourth Monday each month. We got, but we have teams that go there every single week, 6 p.m. Monday night. They go downtown literally under a bridge, set up worship, do the message. There's a homeless village right near there. They invite them out there. It's church for the homeless, church under the bridge. They together engaging and being outward focused. Here's our Antioch Crossing homework huddle. Antioch Crossing Apartments is three blocks south of our new North Overland Park campus. It's like 106th in Antioch. And so we have Patty Fournier lead the team that every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, it usually goes about an hour or so, that they help the kids with homework. And then every month or two, they try to do some activity outside, bring the families out, minister to them, carnivals, games, food, that activity. They together have adopted that that apartment community. And they are expressing outward focus. What is yours? Are you ready to start living both inward, putting the mask over your own nose and mouth, and outward? And not just for the people that are your best friends, your family, but seriously, out beyond the circle of trust. That's what happens in your heart. That's what Jesus does in your heart. Okay. Back to our vision statement. We're here to help everyone become an outward-focused follower of Jesus. It's the, if you've given your life to Jesus, then it's the daily contract with blank provisions he fills in throughout your day. If you've given your life to Jesus, he starts to help you care about other people besides just you and your friends, you and your family, and now it's time to help everyone. You engage in helping. If I help and you help and everyone helps together, I can't help everyone. You can't help everyone, but if all of us help together, we can help everyone who God is leading us to give help to. And I think about this story. I went to a mission trip to Peru years ago. And at the end of a mission trip, you often go to the little market and you bargain in the souvenir area. And I was like, what souvenir would remind me of my mission trip to Peru? And I picked up this little church. So I picked it up because it was a little church. It was pretty. And it reminds me of Peru. And I brought it home. I put it on our shelf, our kind of mantle near our fireplace. And this is a church knickknack. That's what it is. It's a little knickknack. What is a knickknack? A knickknack, well, it sits in your house. It takes up space. It collects dust. It does nothing. It's a knickknack. Are you a church knickknack? We got people each week. They come. They sit in a chair. They take up space. You look pretty. You're like, I've lost you. You're like, well, at least I look good. I at least look pretty. That's awesome. Collect dust, do nothing. Could it be, now there's a season to heal and sit. Could it be that you've become inadvertently a church knickknack? You say, well, I don't know if it's really a big deal if I actually engage and serve. What's a big deal? I like just to kind of come and sit. I don't do anything necessarily. Well, put your hand in a sling for about 2 weeks and don't use it. Because at least it's attached. It's a member. Your hand will start shriveling, atrophying, turn a little monkey fist. Well, I don't need my hand. It's still a part of the body. It's doing nothing. It's not helping anything. You need to use it to be active so it comes to life. When you're not used by God, you shrivel up like a little monkey fist with a little monkey heart. Apparently I'm on monkeys today. You know? And you see this, by the way, the Great Commission brings you to life in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says, and he came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. That's a call for the whole church to engage in disciple making. We might have a different role of disciple making, but together we're making disciples, followers of Jesus, of all the nations. Okay, there's the charge of the church. It's the word nations. How do you reach the world? By the nations. The Greek word for nations is the Greek word ethnos, from which we get the term ethnic group. And so the JoshuaProject.net has identified 17,000 unique people groups, 17,000 unique ethno-linguistic groups, of which 41% or 7,000 of those ethnos are not yet reached. Those unique people groups. Of those 7,000 unique people groups that are not reached, less than 2% Christian, half of them, over 50%, are in the country of India alone. Like, if you go to India, half of the ethnos in the world not yet reached. And when you make disciples, what do? First indication of being a disciple, baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' day, every baptism was spontaneous. So you heard a speaker, God prompted your heart. The first indication of following was to go down, get in the water. Baptism means literally immersed, because it pictures your old life is gone. It's under the water. It's buried. Old you gone. New life. You're risen again with Jesus Christ. It's why some people, you absolutely need to be baptized. Hey, I was baptized as a baby. Fantastic. So was I. That was a fantastic decision by our parents. But it wasn't our decision. Last I checked, and I'll check again. Yeah, you become a disciple, which means you're a learner who follows. And then you are baptized by your choice. And if you don't, next verse says the consequences. Matthew 28, verse 20. Well, you're not going to be taught everything. Why would he give you everything you need when you don't do that simple step? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Making disciples, then you're baptized, then you're taught all things. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Amen. Like, when you would get engaged in helping with the Great Commission, helping make disciples, you come alive. Here's Jack and Sarah Laptad. They're longtime Gracers. They've been serving in Grace Kids, Grace Students, summer breakouts, mission trips together, did a variety of things. Sarah was doing our Antioch Crossing apartment, homework huddles, for a few years. This summer, they were tapped on the shoulder by Mission Southside, who's our ministry partner who puts on these backyard Bible clubs and these homework huddles. And so they said, would you just try and experiment 1 week? No, 1 week commitment, nothing after that, just do a backyard Bible club. So here's a picture of backyard Bible club. This is not their backyard Bible club, but the pictures they had were pretty dark. It was dark that day. So this is a lighter picture so you can see it. I mean, you bring kids in from a community. They made flyers. They hung them on all the doors. Jack and Sarah don't speak Spanish, but they were praying for a ministry closer to them in Olathe. And other Grace Church Olathe people helped them, supported them. They went out. They downloaded a translating app. And they speak English into it. and see what to say. Try to say in Spanish now. They went around and hung these flyers, invited all these kids out for a little backyard Bible club for a week. More and more kids every night. It was an amazing experience. They said, well, let's try more. So Tuesday nights, they started in the summer, a sports night. They went and played soccer for Jesus. They went and played basketball for Jesus. And these kids would come out, families would come out, they engage with them. Then at the end of the summer, back to school time. Kids don't have supplies, many of them. They put on a free garage sale with 50 backpacks with school supplies. It was amazing. Then fire struck. A tragedy happened. This is Harrison Square Apartments. That's a photo of that actual Harrison Square Apartment fire department that night. Five of the units displaced all sorts of families in those five units. On Sunday morning, a bunch of texts and messages, could you please come help us? They said, well, this is church morning. This is church for us. Let's go be the church. They went down there. When you lose your apartment, you have the clothes on your back. You may not have much, many resources either, money. Don't know where you're going to stay, what you're going to eat. They supported that whole community, Mission Southside and the Harrison Square Apartment community gathered together. One family touched their heart particularly. This family had a third grader and a fifth grade girl. And through the discussions, trying to find a place for them, they said, well, we'll open up our house. Do you want to move in with us for a time? Rent free. We promise just you can, I mean, until we get you on your feet, get your own place. This whole process of making disciples and being the hands and feet of Jesus has brought them to life. I asked Jack, would you please write down some of the things that have happened in your soul? Here's what he says. It's been amazing. There's story after story of how we've gone out to serve and in terms have been served. This has deepened our faith. Seeing God's hand provide the resources and work out the details when they don't know where it's going to come from. It's ignited passion in us. You get so pumped of how God's going to let you serve next. And he says, I think my wife and I would also say it's strengthened our marriage and relationship as we serve together. Because we're in the same boat, rowing the same direction, especially through the rough and stormy seas. Many times relying on God to keep us to stay afloat when we're physically exhausted. Guys, when you get engaged in the Great Commission, you come to life. Jesus said, if you try to save your life in a protectionary mode to not live by faith, you'll die on the inside. When you give it away, you come to life. Our vision is to help everyone become an outward-focused follower of Jesus. Most important part, becoming a follower by faith. And then after that moment you become a Christian, every day signing the daily contract, outward focus over your own mouth and other people. Helping you getting engaged. Here's the question. Am I ready to follow Jesus? Am I ready to follow Jesus? I'm praying right now. I've been praying for you that you, if you don't know for sure, if you're giving your life to Jesus Christ by faith, that now would be the moment that you would call out in prayer and say, Jesus, I'm not sure if I have or haven't. Maybe I haven't. Or you say, I know I haven't. But right now, by faith, you pray right now, God, I call out to you by faith. I give my life to you. I place my faith in the death and resurrection for me. I surrender control. I am ready to become a follower of Jesus. I beg you, please, 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 please pray that. Also, if you have done that and not been baptized after that moment, this is the time to do what they did in Jesus' day. We got a better deal. We got clothes. We have towels. We have clean water. We have no excuses. It is time for you in just a moment to get up, come right down here and say, hey, I want to be baptized to show the world I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd move, that people would call out to you to receive you as Savior. That you would move, that people would get up right now, make their way down, make the greatest declaration of what a new disciple does or what a disciple does to show the world their old life is gone. Their new life is risen with Christ, that they are yours. God, move in our midst.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.